My siblings, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. 4 years ago, during the weeks leading up to my departure for seminary, my parents randomly began sharing reminders before I embarked on this new journey. I'd be driving with my dad, all of a sudden he would start saying things like, "Remember to get your hands on some good commentaries, they're really important. I'll send you some." He'll also say things like, "Remember to keep a rule of life and prioritize your emotional, mental, and physical health." My mom, while making my favorite dessert on my last meal before heading out, told me, "Remember to find a spiritual director. It will change your life and keep you steady. Remember to never be afraid to ask questions." On my last days at home, my parents just surrounded me with these reminders saying, "Remember that the God who called you on this journey called you as the Maria Teresa that you are here today, right now. Remember you are a proud Latina, and don't hide your passion for your culture or your hunger for justice. Remember that even in the darkest of times, God's healing presence is with you." And while I was driving away and kissing them goodbye, they said, "Remember, we love you. Remember, remember, remember." There's something so sacred about the act of remembering the lessons of those who came before us. Reminders we need when life gets hard and painful and lonely. The lessons that our siblings give us, even though we want to ignore it at times. The lesson that even our children provide. This morning, our epistle contains Paul's final words before his execution. But to understand their weight, we need to hear what comes earlier in this letter. In chapter 2 of this 2 Timothy, which we heard 2 weeks ago, Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. That is my gospel, for which I suffered hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. The word of God is not chained." Paul writes from a Roman prison cell, waiting to die. Emperor Nero has branded him a criminal, has started a persecution against all Christians, and has decided to neglect any fault that he had on this massive fire that happened, and instead to round up these Christian leaders. Paul's friends have deserted him. Paul is literally chained up, isolated, and facing execution. This entire letter is written from that place, not just from the physical place of a jail, but for the emotional place of being chained. And throughout it all, throughout this entire letter, he continues to emphasize, remember. Reverend Dr. Judy Fentress William reminds us that when scripture uses the word remember, we have to pay attention because it signals how God is about to act. When we remember, we position ourselves to witness God's movements in our lives. So Paul, in chains, having commanded Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, now arrives at the words we heard this morning, his final testament. For he says, "I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now this is a man looking back on his life from a prison cell and declaring it worth it. Not because everything went well, and if we know Silas and good old Paul, we know that everything went well. Or that everything was comfortable by the world's standards. No, none of that happened, but because he kept the faith within the gospel, even when it cost him everything. Earlier in this letter, he wrote, "The word of God is not chained." And my siblings, Paul may be imprisoned, but the gospel cannot be contained even while shackled up. Paul may be silenced by death, but the truth he proclaimed will continue to spread. And my siblings in Christ, I know many of us, if not all of us, are feeling chained up today, like Paul, for many different ways. When Medicare and SNAP are being cut, affecting millions of vulnerable neighbors, we feel chained up by the systems that value profit over people. when our immigrant siblings continued to be separated by masked ICE agents, when their children and loved ones are watching their parents being dragged away, we feel the chains of the cruelty disguised as policy. When another black sibling, when another transgender sibling is found dead by foul play, I can't help but once again be reminded of the chains that I am so weighted down by. When our streets continue to be filled and more past capacity by our own house neighbors, failed by every system available, my siblings, don't we feel chained by our collective inability to protect the vulnerable? And those are just the systemic pressures we're facing. Let's not mention the ones that we're carrying, the daily weight that we all carry. For example, parenting while balancing work, constantly overwhelmed by the demands and the inability to do it all. You're possibly navigating difficult diagnoses of parents and children and loved ones. Perhaps you're working for change in this broken world by heartbroken by how much there's still left to do. Perhaps you're fighting for LGBTQIA+ rights and for the rights of all marginalized people, and the fight feels endless. My siblings, you feel chained. I feel chained. We all feel chained. There's so much going on in this broken world. So much. And it feels like one new thing pops up every second. And still, somehow, the Word of God is still not chained up. Paul shares something vulnerable here. He says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. Can you imagine that loneliness? Paul, who had given everything, who had built communities across the empire, literally, he stood alone at his trial. Everyone had abandoned him. And yet, possibly with weary throat, he dares to proclaim, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. When everyone else abandoned Paul, God showed up. When human supports and human system failed, divine presence sustained. That is what it means to remember God's faithfulness while being chained, my siblings. Recognizing that God's presence doesn't exempt us from suffering, but sustains us through it. God doesn't always remove the chains as fast as we would like, but God stands every moment of it with us in our bondage. So what does this mean for us today, this morning, while we're still here carrying our very chains? It means that when we're exhausted from fighting for justice, wondering if anything will change, remember Jesus Christ. The Word of God is not chained. Your work matters. Your voice matters. Your witness for the vulnerable is sacred work. Looking out, I know a little bit of everyone's story, and I know how much your voice is truly making an impact. Your witness cannot go without. It also means that we're balancing impossible demands, feeling like we're failing at everything. Also, remember Jesus Christ in those moments. God sees you as beloved, claimed by grace, precious beyond every measure. And it also means this, that we are called both to proclaim and to pause, to work and to rest, to pour out and be refilled. Paul writes earlier in his letter to Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. My siblings, this is the urgent work, for the gospel must be proclaimed, full stop. Justice must be sought, the vulnerable must be defended. We cannot be silent in the face of injustice. We cannot be inactive when systems crush the marginalized. But here's what I've come to find out, that what my parents knew when they told me to prioritize my mental, physical, and emotional health. Sustainable ministry, whatever that is in your life right now, requires tending to our own souls. We cannot preach good news if we've forgotten what goodness feels like. We cannot proclaim liberation if we're enslaved to burnout. We cannot offer hope if we've lost touch with the joy all around us. Paul says he's being poured out as a libation, an offering to God. But notice, a libation is poured out intentionally, at the right time and in the right measure. My siblings, there is wisdom in knowing when to pour and when to be refilled. You cannot pour from an empty vessel. Oh no, although I know that we have all tried. So yes, preach the word. Preach the gospel. Share the good news. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Correct systems that crush the vulnerable. Rebuke injustice wherever you find it. Encourage the weary and strengthen the weak. Do this in season and out of season with great patience and careful instructions. But perhaps because I'm feeling it too, my beloved, rest when you're weary. Sit with your grief when it comes. Celebrate the small joys that abound around us. Make space for rest. Jesus withdrew to lonely places to pray even while crowds pressed in on him. He attended wedding feasts even while religious leaders criticized him. He took time with friends to break bread while the world's urgent needs abounded. The good fight Paul speaks of is fought in marches and in meetings, absolutely, 3,000%, yes. But it's also fought in choosing rest when culture demands productivity, in allowing yourself to feel without rushing to fix it, in recognizing that you are not Jesus, but incredibly beloved by Jesus. Sometimes the most prophetic act is refusing to burn out, understanding that sustainable justice work requires sustainable souls. When Paul writes about keeping the faith, he's not just talking about this general orthodox belief. He's talking about remaining faithful to the gospel, including the part where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so, my siblings, how then shall we live so that at the end of our time, we too can say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith"? We fight the good fight by proclaiming the good news to the poor, by speaking truth to power, by standing with the marginalized, and by tending our own souls so we can sustain the fight. We finish the race by running towards justice while also knowing when to stop and catch our breath. We keep the faith by pouring out of ourselves out in love and by allowing ourselves to be refilled by God's grace. Jesus sought the marginalized and withdrew to pray. He proclaimed the uncomfortable truth while celebrating wedding feasts. He challenged unjust systems and took time with friends. The gospel calls us to urgent action and sustainable wholeness, to prophetic witness and deep rest, to speaking out and somehow finding time to sit still. Through Jesus, we learn that wholehearted striving for justice includes wholehearted attention to our very own humanity. The Spirit gives us strength both for the work and for the rest, empowering us to live abundantly even in the midst of struggle. So where are you being called to preach the word? Today, October 26th, here at Trinity, how are we being called to preach the word as we prepare to leave those doors? To speak up, to act for justice? Where is God wanting to work through you to bring good news to those who desperately need it? For my friends, people are desperate for a need of good news. And where do you also need permission to rest? Where do you need permission to rest and to grieve? There's so much loss that we're experiencing as a country and as a world. Are we taking the time to give ourselves permission to grieve with all that is around us? Where do you need permission to be refilled so that you can continue the good and faithful and holy work you're all doing? Both matter. Both are faithful. Both are necessary. And so my siblings, just as my parents gave me some reminders, I give you, and I remind myself of them. Remember that when suffering feels far too much to bear and you ask hard questions, God does not desert us. God remains faithful. Remember that when we lack the words to articulate our pain, that collective pain, that individual hurt, however you're hurting, God endures with us. Remember that in the moments when we feel lost, and we will get those moments, and then we'll come out of them and get back into them. Remember that God will reintroduce God's self to us and of God's love time and time and time again. Paul, chained in prison, about to die, looked back and declared his life good. The midst of the prison, in the midst of being left alone by all his friends, in the midst of it all, I mean, he didn't have an easy ministry. He declared his life good because he kept faith with the gospel, proclaiming it boldly, living it faithfully, and trusting that the Lord stood by him through it all. And so this is our calling. This is our calling to preach the word in season and out of season, to pour ourselves out for love and for justice, to fight the good fight for the vulnerable, to finish the race alongside the marginalized, and to do all this while remembering that we are beloved children of God. No matter how far we stray, we are held in grace, worthy of rest and care, so that we can continue the sacred work to which we're called. The Lord stood by Paul and gave him strength, strength to proclaim the message, and strength to endure suffering, strength to work tirelessly, and strength to trust in God's timing. So remember it, our beloved. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead for us. Remember that the word of God is not chained up. Remember to preach boldly and rest deeply. Remember to speak up for justice and tend to your own soul and the souls of those around us. Remember that both the work and rest are sacred. Both the pouring out and being refilled is holy. Yesterday, Trinity had a couple of events, and one of them was in the morning at Emergency Aid Coalition, where we gathered some rooms that really needed some organization. And it was good and holy work, and there were some toddlers there, and it was beautiful. And it was good and sacred work. And I got home a little tired. But then at night, we had this wonderful screen of the Prince of Egypt with like so many of our kids. And seeing their joy reminded me of the importance of this working out and proclaiming the scripture while also taking a time to notice the joy that's still all around us. Children excited to learn about Moses and excited about soundtracks that will inspire them, and fellowship that continues to fill your cup when it is running empty. And so my siblings, may we too be able to say, I have fought the good fight with courage and with wisdom. I have finished the race, proclaiming good news and practicing rest. And I have kept the faith in work of justice and in the God who sustains us for all that holy and sacred work. Amen. Amen. Amen.